Please turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And our subject this evening is the last days. Well, we come to this last chapter of the book of Daniel. And well, it's been a tremendous book to study together, very challenging at times, full of symbols and visions that have been difficult in places. But it has been a book equally that has taught us so much that is of practical value to us. It is a book that has taught us so much about true faithfulness. Remember how faithful Daniel is in the early chapters of this book, how he and his friends refused to do that which would dishonor the Lord. They refused to eat that food, the Babylonian food that was offered up to pagan gods that was unclean. They refused to eat it because it would have dishonored the Lord. And they refused to bow themselves down before a pagan idol set up by King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel refused to stop praying. And they did all of this even though they would pay the ultimate price, or they were in danger of paying the ultimate price. They knew that if they refused to obey the state or the ruling of the king, they would die. That was the sentence. If anybody refuses to obey these decrees, it is death for them. So they knew that their obedience to the Lord would cost them their lives, and yet they did it. They loved the Lord, and the Lord, well, he delivered them. And this was such a tremendous lesson for us in true faithfulness. But we've also learned, of course, a lot about history, world history, in these visions that we have been considering. Well, Daniel has seen the future for him, what would come to pass after him from the time of his life right up to the time of Christ, the first coming of Christ, his birth in Bethlehem, what would happen. That section of history was unveiled to Daniel. And we learnt of all those world empires that would come and go, that would rise and fall. First, there was the Babylonian Empire, then the Persians, then the Greeks, and then the Romans. Daniel saw all of these things. So we've learnt a lot about history, ancient history. And we've also been told a lot about a specific individual, a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a cruel king. And he appeared just over 100 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And he fiercely persecuted the Jews. And he desecrated the temple, the sacred things. He stopped the daily sacrifices. And he set up a pagan idol in the temple. He put many devout Jews to death. And we're told a lot about him. Why are we told about him? Because he teaches us about Antichrist. Because when the Antichrist comes, we know that the Antichrist will come at the end of time. When the Antichrist comes, he will be like him. He will be like Antiochus Epiphanes. In the same way that Antiochus Epiphanes was such an unprecedented persecutor of the Lord's people and did not care for the sacred things and did not care for their God, that's exactly how the Antichrist will be. And just as Antiochus Epiphanes, well, his time was just before the first coming of Christ. Well, when Antichrist comes, it will be just before the second coming of Christ. So Antiochus Epiphanes is even placed in the right place in history, just before the first coming, when Antichrist, the full expression of Antichrist, comes. It will be just before Christ's second coming. So Antiochus Epiphanes is important because of that. Now, in the last chapter, Daniel 11, we learnt about Antiochus Epiphanes, but at the end of the chapter, the vision really just speaks of the Antichrist. It's not really speaking about Antiochus Epiphanes from verse 36 in chapter 11. The king that is mentioned in verse 36, that's the true Antichrist. It's no longer speaking about Antiochus Epiphanes, and all those verses that follow speak about what Antichrist will do when he comes ultimately. And the vision now has focused exclusively on the very end of time, just like the book of Revelation focuses on the very end of time. Now, this portion of the book of Daniel will focus on that time. It's no longer looking at the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, the time before the first coming. Now we're looking ahead to that which will come to pass just before Christ returns, the great trial for the Lord's people. But there is encouragement right at the start of chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. So in the vision, well, Daniel sees that there will be a tremendous time of great tribulation and distress for the Lord's people, but at the same time, God will send help. God will send aid. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince. Michael, a great angel. That is the help that God will send. We have met with Michael, or seen Michael mentioned previously in chapter 10, and that was in connection with spiritual warfare. The Lord Jesus Christ appears to Daniel, and Michael is with him, and Michael has been fighting a spiritual battle. And we noted that behind the world affairs, the reality of this world, that which we can see and observe, there is a spiritual warfare. And it will be the same at the very end of time. Things in this world will decline, but behind the scenes there is a spiritual warfare. But there will be somebody fighting for us. There will be somebody on our side. Michael, the great prince. God will send help. God will send aid. And even though it will be a very difficult time for the Lord's people, even in our darkest times, there will be encouragement for the Lord's people. There will be spiritual victories even for the Lord's people. Maybe in the world around us, everything will be very bleak and very dismal, but spiritually we will be upheld and we will be blessed, and the Lord will send aid. And remember that one of the great themes of this book is the sovereignty of God. God is over everything. And so we see it here in chapter 12. God is over everything. God knows the plight of his people. He knows the plight of his people full well, and he will send aid. So that is a tremendous word of encouragement right at the start of the chapter. But of course, it will be a terrible time, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. But then the very end is mentioned at the end of this verse, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. A book is mentioned, and we should be familiar with this book because we read of this book in the book of Revelation. A couple of times it is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13 And verse 20, remember the Lamb's Book of Life, the names of all of God's people, all of the elect, those who are ordained to everlasting life, their names are written in the Book of Life. And they who are written in the Book of Life, they shall be delivered. At that time, thy people shall be delivered. Delivered in many ways, even during the tribulation. But at the very end, of course, when Christ returns, they shall be delivered from this time of distress and this time of chaos and tribulation. And verse 2 speaks of the great resurrection. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Of course, it's very obvious here, an obvious reference to the resurrection when all of the dead shall be raised up. We read many of them that sleep. Some people say, well, why does that not read all? Are not all of the inhabitants of the earth raised up? Well, yes, but we are given this word many because it's simply referring to the great scale of people. So many will be raised up, brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of all the earth. It will be a tremendous sight, but all those will have to stand before Christ, and some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Well, in Revelation 20, verse 15, we read, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, that place of shame and everlasting contempt. And this is the great separation. And we read of this in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ says this very clearly. He says that when he will return, well, he will divide the sheep from the goats. There will be a great separation, some to everlasting life. The sheep who heard his voice and obeyed his voice, they will go to everlasting life. The goats, who are relatively speaking rebellious and stubborn and will not take the commandments, will not obey, there will be that great separation. Christ will come, everyone will be raised, yes, but there will be a division. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so this is very clearly a picture of the very end of time, the deliverance of the Lord's people, because their names are written in that book. What a wonderful thing to think about. The name of every believer written in the book. And of course, the name of every believer, it's in the book because their names were on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross, he knew every individual he would die for when he suffered in great agony on the cross. They were written on his heart. They were upon his mind. And they are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we read in verse 3, we read again of the Lord's people, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The glory of the Lord's people, the glory that we shall inherit is so much greater than anything we could know in this world, and the troubles of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be received and known in us. But that word wise, by the way, and they that be wise, could equally be translated teachers. They that be teachers shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. So it doesn't just mean wise, although of course the Lord's people are wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's only really the Lord's people who have wisdom, very different to intelligence. The Lord's people have wisdom because they have looked to the Lord. They have stored up treasure for themselves in heaven. They haven't lived for this world. They haven't made themselves comfortable just in this world. No, they've thought about eternity. Where will I go when I die? Am I ready? When Christ comes, when I stand before him, how will I stand? That's wisdom. To not think about these things, to bury them away and not care and just live for the world, that's foolishness. But the Lord's people, they are wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. But we teach the world, and we turn many to righteousness. And when we read here that we are teachers, well, it doesn't just mean when we teach from the pulpit or teach in the Sunday school, but our lives, our conduct, they are sermons to all those around us. They teach people. When unbelievers see us and see our lives, we are teaching them. We are teaching them what a life of a believer looks like. We are teaching them in some ways what Christ is like. We reflect Christ, not very well at times, but because we are set apart, because we are holy, because we endeavor to obey God, we live our lives in a certain way. And that teaches others. It teaches others about Christ, even in death. We teach others about Christ. Well, it is well known that in the days of Mary Tudor, they started to execute believers in public. But then they stopped executing believers in public. Why? Because the witness was so great. All the people who had gathered to see these Christians die, they were dying with such integrity and such peace even, and such victory, that they stopped the crowds from coming. Even their death was teaching the crowd, the multitude, about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are teachers. They that be wise, they that be teachers, we are teaching the world about Christ. And by the way, we're teaching one another also. This is why it's good to come to a church. You don't just get taught from the pulpit. You get taught when you relate to other believers, when you see how they live their lives, when you see how they respond to various situations and trials. That teaches you. It teaches you how to live as a Christian. When you speak to godly men and women, how they make their decisions, how they decide where to live and where to study and who to marry. You can learn from all of these things, the way that they think. So that's wisdom. We are teachers. We are teachers to the world, and we are teachers to one another. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And well, throughout all eternity, we will, in a sense, be teaching one another eternally about all that Christ has done for us and all that he means to us. So we shall shine forever and ever. But verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. So Daniel is told to shut up the words, seal the book, not to hide the vision away, not to hide what he has seen, but to seal it means to preserve it. Keep the words. Don't change them. Don't omit anything. Don't leave anything out. Seal these words. Seal what you have seen, because this book, this vision, will be for many generations. They will be for many generations after you, Daniel, all the devout Jews that follow you, but ultimately for the church. So seal these words, even to the time of the end. Until the very end of time, these words shall not pass away. And then you have that very mysterious part of the verse at the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, there are many different interpretations of this, but I'll go with the one that's most simple and probably the most applicable in the context. Some suggest that many shall run to and fro. That is a reference to how we read these words and how the eyes read the words. They run to and fro. As you're reading a scroll or reading a page, your eyes run to and fro. They are reading the words that Daniel has sealed up. And because they read these words and take them in, their knowledge shall be increased. Their knowledge, their wisdom, their understanding of future things. It's only the word of God that gives us an understanding of what the future will be like. So many shall run to and fro. In other words, many shall read your words, and their knowledge shall be increased. They will understand the things that you have seen and understood, Daniel. And then verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. So this is the river Tigris, remember? There are two angels, one on one side of the bank and one on the other side of the bank of the river. And on the water, we read in verse 6, on the river, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these waters? The Lord Jesus, clothed in linen, in priestly garments. He's upon the waters of the river. And Stuart Olliott, in his commentary, he suggests that when the Lord Jesus Christ walks on the water to go out to the disciples, he is identifying himself as the one who is mentioned here in Daniel's vision, who is upon the water of the river. So perhaps that is an appropriate application. But in any case, he's pictured here upon the waters. But a question is given to him at the end of verse 6. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders, these things that will come to pass, the very end of time, an Antichrist? And verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, the Lord Jesus, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. Now this is a sign of making a vow, holding up the right hand. If both hands were lifted up, that was a sign of a very solemn vow, a very certain vow. This will not be cancelled or annulled in any way. And he swears by him that liveth forever. So an oath is being made that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So we have that mysterious time, times, and an half. Now, there are, again, different ways in which people interpret that time, times, and an half. Now, that could mean the time of the gospel age. And Daniel could be, or the Lord Jesus Christ, rather, could be saying that the gospel age must come first. Because we read in the book of Revelation that time, times, and an half is the time of the gospel age, the time when the church is in the wilderness. And that is the time that is allocated, the 42 months, the 3.5 years, which was the time of the gospel age in the book of Revelation. It's also described as a time, times, and an half. So that could be the understanding of it. The Lord is saying, before these things come to pass, the gospel age must come. But then others, including Stuart Olliott, well, he is convinced that these words are referring to the time of Antichrist himself, the reign of Antichrist. This is how long the Antichrist himself will reign. So it's a time, times, and an half. And what is being communicated to us is that there will be stages in the reign of Antichrist. Stages, time, times, and an half. So there will be a time when Antichrist emerges and he will reign powerfully. And then when you think that the Antichrist has achieved all that he wants to achieve for a time, then there will be another time. He will continue and he will grow even stronger. So there will be a second stage of Antichrist's reign, a time and then times. And then after that second stage, there will be a half a time. You would think that Antichrist would be finished by the second stage, but oh no, there's another time, another period in which we have to live through this great tribulation. So this is communicating to us the stages of Antichrist's reign, a time, an initial time when Antichrist is on the throne, then an extended time, and then, well, a half a time. He exceeds his time, as it were. And it seems as though he is not able to be conquered. He is all-powerful. But then at his highest peak, well, we read, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, he's just about to have complete victory, all these things shall be finished. And we've considered this many times. Satan, Antichrist, will be defeated not when he's at a low ebb, not when he's at his weakest point, but when Antichrist is at his strongest. So that time, times and a half, I hope it's been fairly clear to you, but it's probably best to read that as the stages of Antichrist's reign. But then verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So Daniel himself now is asking, when will be the end of these things? When exactly? He hasn't been given enough clarity. But verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, Daniel is not going to get the clarity that he requires or that he wants, rather. He has been told enough. He has been told what he needs to know. And this is the nature of the scriptures. The scriptures, and we've mentioned this before or thought about this before, the scriptures teach us what we need to know, not what we want to know. The scriptures don't teach us all those things that will satisfy our curiosity completely. The scriptures only teach us what we need to know. And Daniel has been told what he needs to know. He's not going to be given the exact date when the Lord Jesus Christ will come or the exact identity of the Antichrist. These are not for us to know. And in fact, we don't have any right to pry into these things. It's reflected in those words, go thy way, Daniel, be content with what you know. So people who try to calculate exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ will come to the exact date, and they look at a book like Daniel, and they try and add up all of these dates to try and work out when exactly the Lord Jesus Christ will come, that actually goes against the teaching of Scripture, against the instruction of the Lord. We are not meant to know these things. We don't have a right to know them. And Daniel is told this. You have been given enough information, Daniel. So be content with that. And Daniel, well, he understands these things. The words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. But verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Many shall be purified and made white. Well, again, this is speaking about the purification of the church, and we mentioned this a little last week. This is why the trial will come. because the church will be purified. In times of persecution, the church is always purified. Those who are nominal, those who are not truly saved, they will fall away because they cannot bear the persecution. They cannot bear the trial and the difficulty. They will fall away. But those who are true to the Lord, they will stand. They will persevere. They will endure. So the church is purified. All the dross falls away and the church is purified. And that is in part why the trial will come. Of course, this is why any trial comes to us. Any trial in our lives, any difficulty, it's to sanctify us. It's so that the things in our lives and in our characters will be driven out, the dross in our character. The worldliness will be driven out and we will cleave to the Lord more. That's why any trial comes, to sanctify us and to purify us so that we may be better conformed to the image of Christ. And it will be the same at the very end of time. But the wicked, on the other hand, shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, we see that even now in the present day, the world is changing, the world is in decline, people are confused, people are wondering why things are not how they used to be, they don't have any understanding about all of these things. They don't know where the world is heading. They don't know how it's all going to end. People ask you sometimes, how is this all going to work out? They're fearful. They don't understand. But we understand. We ought not to have the fear of the world. The wise shall understand. We have all of these things presented to us in the scripture. We know that the world will get worse and worse. We know that. We know why it will get worse and worse. We know how it ends. We understand all of these things. But the wicked, they do not. They will continue to be lost and they will do wickedly. They will get worse and worse themselves. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Well, again, we try not to get too bogged down with the numbers. They don't really make much sense as standalone figures. But whenever we see figures like this in this context, and this is, of course, referring to, again, to the reign of Antichrist, what we take away from this is that his time is numbered. His reign, the reign of Antichrist, is limited to a certain time. God has set a limit on his time, which is 1,290 days. He hasn't got eternity. He's only got a relatively short season. But we read here, well, just the rest of verse 11, very briefly, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Well, this is what Antiochus Epiphanes did. He took away the daily sacrifice and he set up an abomination, two stages of his persecution of the Jews. And again, this is what the Antichrist will do when he comes. He will take away the daily sacrifice. How can we apply that to the Antichrist who will come at the end of the world? Well, who is our sacrifice? The Lord Jesus Christ is the offering, the sacrifice, and that shall be taken away. Well, perhaps that means that gospel preaching and understanding about the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to God, as the Lamb of God, that bears away all our sins, that takes away the sin of the world, that will be cancelled. That will be banned. That teaching, that gospel message about Christ and how he has died, the Lamb of God, take it away. We don't want to hear it. It's offensive. Perhaps that will be the fulfillment of this verse. No gospel preaching at all. No atoning sacrifice. Christianity will probably not be about that at all. It will be just like a moral religion. Just do good, follow the example of Christ, hearken to some of his words, but Christ as an atoning sacrifice, as penal substitution, we will not accept that. The sacrifice will be taken away. That'll be one stage of the reign of Antichrist. And the second stage, the abomination that maketh desolate set up. So the first stage will be the gospel being banned and preachers being silenced. And what will take its place? Pagan idols, the gods of this world. The world will invent its own gods, its own morality, cultural gods, philosophies, ideologies. Do away with Christ as the offering, the sacrifice. Let's put up our own gods in his place. That's what Antichrist will do. Just as Antiochus Epiphanes did this, two stages, this is what the Antichrist will do. And well, we can see it. It's not hard to see this in our present time. So, it sort of equates with the time, times and a half. Two stages. The daily sacrifice taken away, that's one time. The abomination that maketh desolate set up, that's another time. Is there a half a time that's added? Yes, we read that in verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Now, 1,335 days is a little bit more than 1,290 days. It's almost like a half measure has been added to that number. 1,290 days, and just a little bit more is added. A time, times, and then a half. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. The reign of Antichrist is again being represented here. But look at those words, blessed is he that waiteth. Again, the reign of Antichrist will seem longer than we expect, like any trial in our lives. Whenever we face trials in our lives, well, they're always, almost always, a lot longer than we expect them to be, or certainly a lot longer than we want them to be. Sometimes we have to live with trials for many years, and it will be the same for this final trial for the Lord's people. It will seem to go on forever. One stage, then another stage, and then half a stage. It will seem so long, but blessed is he that waiteth. Blessed is he that endureth, that perseveres. That's how we deal with trials. In any situation in our own lives, we persevere, we keep going. We keep going. Even though it doesn't look as though we're making any progress, even though it looks as though things are actually getting worse, we keep going. Blessed is he that waiteth, that endures, that perseveres. We keep witnessing, we keep praying, we keep serving God, we keep praising God, even in the worst of times. And then we will have our reward. Verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be. These really are words for Daniel, but of course they speak to us. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel will go his way. Soon he will be no more. We don't know exactly when Daniel died. Estimates are around 535 BC, 536, say others. But he would die, he would rest. He would be as those that sleep in the dust of the earth. His soul, of course, went to be with the Lord, but his body would rest. But at the end of the days, he will stand in thy lot, the lot that God has given to him, the inheritance that God has given to him. He will stand before God with great everlasting joy in his heart, with amazement at the grace that has been shown to him, with the fruit of his faith. Faith will give way to sight for Daniel. He will stand before God at the end of the days. And that's the promise to every single one of us. Yes, this life is hard. This life is difficult. Challenges, trials of all kinds, of all sorts. But blessed is he that waiteth, that does not dishonor God, that does not abandon God because of the difficulty, that does not curse God because of anything that comes their way. Blessed is he that waiteth, however long it takes. And then we have an eternal rest, rest forever in the presence of the living God. That is the final word to Daniel, and what a glorious word it is. Well, may these words, this book of Daniel, I trust, I pray that it has been a blessing to you, and may the Lord bless all the things that we have learnt from his glorious example